Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to a Daily Tech News Show special. I am here to talk to Daniel Casagnol, Industry Communications at CTA, the Consumer Technology Association that puts on CES. Daniel, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be on.
So, a very different CES this year, obviously. Not one that when we spoke with folks last year, we would have expected. But how big was it, given all the differences? How many exhibitors, how many people were involved?
Yeah, so definitely a different year this year. You know, I'm finding myself missing Vegas and the excitement of the show, but it was still a really great year that we kind of had to build from the ground up and reimagine it. This year, we're expecting over 150,000 attendees. We had 1,900 exhibiting companies, over 100 hours of conference sessions. So a lot of great people who joined us and a lot of great announcements. I know I was feeling on day zero, media day, before media one, the announcements were coming fast and furious.
Yeah, that part felt familiar.
Yes.
My feet may have felt a little springier than usual, but the announcements were coming at about the same rate that they usually are.
Right.
You know, what were some of the challenges of taking a physical trade show and trying to make it entirely virtual?
Yeah, I mean, this summer we knew we needed to make the call, and obviously there was no choice, and that's certainly unfortunately held up to today, that it needed to be all digital. But I think the biggest challenge was we couldn't just take an existing trade show, the existing CES setup, and move it online and try to reimagine it purposely, intentionally, so that we can recreate some of those special parts of CES and make it, you know, as an enjoyable experience that still lends to all of the information about the companies and the products and the great programming. So, you know, some of the good, I think, that came from that was, you know, besides less sore feet or maybe shorter lines, you know, the accessibility of more people to join, things like closed captions and the ability for more people to join conveniently and safely from home. The live anchor desk was a fun addition this year, I think, you know, especially with a totally new format, being able to guide people as a home base to where they can get certain information or how to do certain things. I think the keynotes were still great. It felt like you were sitting in the auditorium watching those, and the profile, the ability to make profiles and the platform that CES built with Microsoft, the goal was to create personalized experiences. The more information you gave about what you were interested in, the more the platform was able to suggest the most relevant content for you.
You know, we mentioned that the pace of the news seemed about the same, and that the keynotes in some ways felt very familiar. Was there anything you were surprised didn't change by going virtual?
It's a good question. That part of the pace of change, I mean, admittedly, you know, I listen to your all's program so that I can keep up with even being inside of the organization, it's still hard for us to keep track of everything. And, you know, we have an internal team that's trying to track it, and we're constantly on Twitter and listening to catch up. So, I mean, I still had trouble keeping up with everything in terms of product announcements, which is a good problem to have.
How have the exhibitors responded this year?
I think the exhibitors have had great feedback so far that I've heard. I know that a little bit of that spontaneity is probably lost from an attendee and exhibitor standpoint. You really had to kind of be a little extra intentional to find and discover new companies. You know, you have those ones you like to check in on every year. And so when all this is said and done, I hope that attendees and exhibitors both were able to find each other and learn new things. You know, we always know Samsung will bring great announcements, right? Sony, the big ones. Were Connections able, you know, did the smaller startups and companies there, were they, you know, did they feel like they had new conversations and coverage?
Do you think there is anything that happened this year that will change how CES will be done in the future when we're allowed to all go back and be together?
Yeah, I think the goal is absolutely to be back in Vegas in 2022 for CES, and a lot of good and familiar, you know, seeing your connections. Maybe it's the one time a year you see each other. And right. Like I said, that spontaneous part and that energy of being in person. But a lot of this digital format will be here to stay also to augment that experience. I think that online access and accessibility has been very positive. The on-demand content, you know, has been way more than a CES has ever done before. So I think moving forward, it will be a lot more digitally intertwined with the physical show.
It does feel like there's an opportunity to expand the reach of CES, both for attendees and exhibitors, as well as the general public, by taking some of the things that we were forced to do this year and say, okay, let's keep the stuff that was good, that we didn't, you know, that was able, and combine it to the things that we know are good about being in person.
Right. Yeah, especially that international piece, you know, it's not easy to travel across the world for an event like that. And, you know, if for whatever reason you're not able to attend, giving that accessibility on demand, different time zones, different captioning and accessibility is definitely a part we want to be able to retain.
You know, this isn't CES specific, but just a passing thought. I wonder if at some point this makes it possible to have conventions not just be in one location. And I don't even just mean the LVCC. I mean, could you have a convention using all of this in multiple places in the world so that everybody in the world can get to it because it's easier to get to?
Right. It's certainly a challenge with the time zones.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I know I always would see walking through the halls of LVCC somebody, you know, taking a quick nap while their phone charges, you know, or laid out across a chair, and I felt for them. So hopefully, you know, I like that idea of sort of concurrent being able to happen internationally.
Yeah, maybe a rolling 24-hour conference that just never, literally never stops. It's interesting to think about, and I don't think anyone knows what will come out of this sort of grand experiment that we were all made to play into. But like you said, in a lot of ways, this was a very familiar CES. When we talked to folks last year, it was all about, you know, the new convention center of capabilities and changing some of the halls around. So fingers crossed, knock on wood, that, you know, everything is great and we're all back together in Las Vegas in 2022. What can we expect from CES then?
from what can we expect from CES 2022? Or
What's going to be new and different next year?
Yeah, I feel like there will be this renewed sense. You know, we all kind of like to gripe about the taxi lines and maybe Vegas if that's not your scene, or, you know, whatever it might be. I know I, for one, have been there and will be so happy to be back and just that energy of seeing everybody in person again and walking through the halls and seeing everything. So hopefully there's, you know, a renewed sense of energy next year. And then I know the LVCC has expanded last year. I know a lot of my other colleagues are really plugged in there, but I think it's going to be physically a lot different because of how they've able to expanded the halls and some new and great updated areas. So I think it'll be fresh. I think we'll be ready to come back, and it'll be a pretty new experience.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully I will see you at CES in 2022.
Yes.
Danielle, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you taking the time to talk.
Thank you so much.
If you want all of our coverage of CES, go to dailytechnewsshow.com if you're not there already, where you can listen to episodes, read up on the show notes, and subscribe. We'll talk to you soon.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.